Right, Mem Aleph Om Beis. So we were almost in the middle of a sugya. Left you all guys stranded a bit. Let's just briefly recap the Rashi that we need to see before we learn the Tosfos. So we had a few different opinions in the Gemara. We had Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. We then had Rav Sheshes, we then had Rav Chia, but finally we had Rav Papa. And the Gemara said that is the halacha. Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa, Rav Papa teaches us what the halacha lemaisa actually is. So he used the following words: Dvorim haboim machmas hasuda betoich hasuda, which according to Rashi meant, it's there, lalafe spohe enes hapas. So, machmas hasuda is, according to Rashi, a phrase that we use for anything which is there, lalafe spohe enes hapas, which means, as Rashi points out, therefore it's totally tofel to the pas. Now, once we're dealing with foods which are lalafe spohe enes hapas, it doesn't really matter, therefore, what the particular food is. If at the end of the day, its function is lalafe spenas apas, then it's tofel to the pas, whether it's jam or meat or fish or whatever it may be. That's its role, so it's completely tofel. So, machmas hasuda betoich hasuda, according to Rashi, means lalafe spenas apas, the halacha, therefore, there is no brocha before or afterwards. Cross. There's no brocha before, why? Because it's tofel to the pas. There's no brocha afterwards again, because it's tofel. If, however, it is shaloi machmas ha-su'uda, Rashi's example was which? What was his example? Daisa. Daisa is porridge. There it is not there, lalafe ispen ha-sapas. Rather, it is there as mozin. That is a basic part of the meal. That's what the guy is filling himself up on. So then the halacha is at what? So therefore you do have to make a bracha lefnehem. Why? Because it's no longer tofel. With regard to the bracha acharehen, you do not need to make a bracha. Why not?
Subsumed within the Birkas HaMozin.
It's subsumed in the Birkas HaMozin because this is mozin. This is mozin. Now, that was what we called 2A. Why was it 2A? Because it was shaloi machmas hasuda, which means it's not lalafe ispenes pas. It doesn't have that advantage of tofel. Now, 2A was shaloi machmas hasuda betoich hasuda. 2B is now shaloi machmas hasuda laachar hasuda. What does it mean, laachar hasuda? So Rashi called it kinuach. We saw that word in Tosfos, which means that why is it there? What's it doing for? What's its function? Just to give you a nice taste. That we always said, that was the big principle that emerged last time, and that is there are three primary reasons why you eat food during the meal. Either lalafe ispenes hapas, or for mozoin, or as Rashi called it, lamaseik, or Tosfos called it kinuach, that's the same thing. Now, if you're eating it lakinuach, which is basically a dessert, that even though we call it la'achar hasu'udo, but Rashi clearly pointed out, technically, it doesn't really matter when you actually eat it. Therefore, the words la'achar hasu'udo are a little bit la'avdafka. What it really means is something that you would normally, regularly eat la'achar hasu'udo, but even if you brought it in the middle of the su'udo, so we gave the example of a candy. If you bring a toffee to the meal in the middle of the suda, even though it's not actually la'achar ha-suda, but everybody agrees it's not there la'afe ispenes hapas, and it's not there for mozin. So why is it there? Just because you want to have a nice sweet taste in your mouth. And that's what Rashi said, if you remember. Rashi said, kugoin peirois, on the third bottom line, Rashi says, afilu hevion betoich ha-suda. Even if you actually brought them during the meal, shaloi machmas lift on, not to be malafis, not just as an accompaniment to the bread. Fine. So halacha, therefore, would once again be in that case. You would make a bracha lefonov. Why? Because it's not lelafis. But here, you'd also make a bracha la'acharov. Why? Because it can't be included in Birkas Hamozoin, because it's not Mozoin. Simple as that. That was Shitas Rashi. Now, we began, let's have a look again. Let's have a look at Tosfos Hilchasa. We made a start to this Tosfos Hilchasa. Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi. And as we pointed out last time, when we started, Tosfos is going to ask a number of questions, which is always very important, therefore, in a Tosfos like this, after we've seen Tosfos, when he presents us with his explanation of the sugya, what do we have to do? We really have to go back and knock them off one by one to see why the questions are not difficult according to the opinion of Tosfos. It says Tosfos, Hilchos Dvarim Haboim B'Toich HaSuda Machmas HaSuda Pirish HaKuntras Lelafes Bohen Esapas. So Rashi explains that what does it mean, Machmas HaSuda? Machmas HaSuda means Lelafes Bohen Esapas. It's there as an accompaniment to the bread. Ein t'unin brocha. It does not require a brocha. Dahave luhu tfeila, because they are tofel luhu. What does luhu mean? To them. They are tofel to them. This oichel is tofel to the bread. We therefore not require any brocha lefonov. Says Tosfos, v'loi nehira. This does not seem correct. And Tosfos asks a number of questions. Firstly, dim kein masnisenhi. It's a Mishnah. There's nothing wrong halachically with what Rashi said, but it cannot be that that's what Rav Papa is teaching us. Why not? It's a Mefurash Mishnah. Says Tosfos, which Mishnah? The most famous Mishnah in all of brachas. The Mevarech ala Ikar u'Poter Esat Feila. That we always know is the rule that what? You make a bracha on the Ikar, and that would exempt the Tofel. So that's what Rav Papa is teaching me? That if you make, if you have a food which is there, lalafa is benes hapas, it would be tofel to the bread and you don't make a bracha on it. That's the old-fashioned ikka and tofel rule. So it's not untrue, but I would hardly need Rav Papa to tell me something which is written in a Mefurash Mishnah. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two, therefore, Tosfos says, "Umayka mashmalon." So what on earth are you teaching me? Says Tosfos. Va'oid kasha, kasha number two. De parich besamuch. The Gemara asks later on, if you remember, towards the bottom of the Amud, Yain nami niftere pas. Let the wine also be exempted by the bread. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara answered afterwards that no, because Yain is choshev, but the Gemara asked that Yain should be subsumed by the bracha on the bread. Now, Rashi has just told us, as quoted by Tosfos, that when do we have an example of food which is subsumed by bread? If it is tofel. So what was the Gemara asking with Yain? What, Yain is tofel to the pas? How can you have wine which is tofel? You put wine on the bread, you made wine sandwiches, what's going on? The Gemara asks later on, Yain nami niftere pas, quote unquote. The wine should also be exempted by the bread. Umay kasha? What is the difficulty? What on earth is the Gemara's question? Vahaloi, surely, kashashoisim hayayin, when one drinks wine, eino tfele la pas. It's not toffel to the pas. Nobody in the world drinks wine as a toffle to the pas. You drink wine because you want to drink wine. Va'anan, and we, b'midi, on a matter, to toffle the pas, myrinon. What does myrinon mean?
We're dealing with
a subject of toffle the pas. According to Rashi, that is the subject at hand over here. What is the issue? Toffle. If it's toffle, then it's potter. If it's not, then it's not. So what was we're asking? So yain should also be potter. Yain is never toffle to the pas. V'hein lefarish, says Tosfos almost in parenthesis, don't try and attempt to explain the Pirush HaKuntros according to Rashi's explanation that yayin nifterei pas. Do you know when wine could in theory be exempted by bread? Maybe that was the Gemara's question. K'sheshoire pitoi b'yeinoi ka'omar. Maybe we are dealing with, what does ka'omar mean? By the way, we've had this word many times. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe what the Gemara means to say is that the wine which is soaking in bread, you dip your bread in the wine. So then maybe to have a lay yayin toffel, because that certainly would be a case of toffel. If Rashi is learning the sugya of toffel, so what was Tosfos' original kasha? I'm sorry, yayin is not toffel. Ah, you might want to explain that we're actually talking about a case where you soak the bread in wine such that the wine is really toffel, and maybe that was the Gemara's question. Maybe that was the Gemara's question, that surely that should be subsumed by the bread and should not require a bracha. So he says, no, you can't suggest that. Why not? Because we've never found nobody ever said that you do make a bracha in this particular case. If the Gemara asks a shayla that what? Excuse me. If the Gemara asks a shayla that surely the wine should not require a bracha, that's another way of telling me that what? That you do make a bracha, and the Gemara's question is, why is that the case? What do you mean you do make a bracha? Who's ever told us that if you soak wine in, you soak bread in wine, that you make a bracha over the wine so that you now have a question, oh, but surely you shouldn't need to. Nobody said you did. That can't be the case, therefore. I admit that would be a case of toffel, but that cannot be the case that we're dealing with, because nobody in the world ever suggested that you would make a bracha over it, therefore you have no license to ask, why do you make a bracha? Nobody said you do. And therefore, says to it, says, Elo vadai, it must certainly be Mairi Bashtia. Therefore, we're certainly talking about what type of case?
Drinking.
Well, you're drinking the wine. And if that's the case, we're back to square one. Mimon Afshoch. If the wine has had the bread dipped in it, that nobody ever said that you make a bracha on the wine. If you have no license to ask, why do you make a bracha? Nobody said you do. Elomai, we're dealing with where you drink the wine separately. If you drink the wine separately, then you would make a bracha. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Why do you make a bracha? Says Tosfos, but what's the question? The wine is not in any which way toffel to the pasuk. What's the Gemara's kasha? Therefore, mimon afshach, either way you look at it, the Gemara doesn't make sense. If we're dealing with bread dipped in the wine, then you certainly don't make a bracha. What was the Gemara's kasha? And if we're dealing with wine which is drunk separately from the bread, it's not toffel. So obviously you do make a bracha, so what's the kasha? So again, this is all a difficulty based on Rashi's explanation, because Rashi was the one who told us that what? That dvorim haboim machmas hasuda is another way of saying Lelafa is benesapas, which means toffel. Third question coming up. Va'oid kosher. Now Tosfos moves on to a different part of Rashi's explanation, but again, has difficulty with it. Va'oid kosher, masha pirish Rashi. That which Rashi explained, that dvorim haboim shaloi machmas asuda. So until this point we were dealing with machmas asuda, now we're dealing with shaloi machmas asuda. Batoi chasuda. What was Rashi's example? Kagoin? Daisa v'taradin. Porridge. Ukruv. Cabbage. She'enon shalifton, which are not there to be malafes, uboin, and rather they come lozun v'lisboya, to sustain and to satiate. What's the halacha there? So, the way Rashi taught us is Tu'unin Brocha Lifnehem. Yes, they require a first Brocha. Why is that? Delav Tfeiloninu, because they are not considered Toffel. Why are they not Toffel? Because, as we just mentioned, they're not there Lelafes Benesapas. Umiyo Paturin Mibirkas Hamazoin. But they are exempt, they are subsumed in the Birkas Hamazon. Why do Mine Mozoin Ninhu? Because they are a certain type of Mozoin, therefore they're certainly included in Birkas Hamazoin. That is all a quote of Rashi's explanation. So what's the problem with that? Says Toisus Velo Inahira. That also doesn't appear to be correct. Why? The Omrinon Bamasnisin. Because we have said in a Mishnah, which Mishnah is this? If you look, this is a Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Omad Aleph. That's the Mishnah which is coming up, Beis Hashem Yisborach. Says Tosis, it says there, Birech Al Hapas, Potar Es Hapar Peres. The Mishnah says there, if you make a bracha on the bread, that would exempt parperes. Now, what does parperes mean? Parperes is going to be a very important principle. That's going to be the next Mishnah.
Vorspeis.
It's going to be some part of the meal, that's for sure. What exactly is it? So Tosfos says, Uba Gemara Mefarish. The Gemara there will explain, and we'll see this Be'ez Hashem when we learn the Sugya. So too the din is exactly the same. Kol Maisa Kedera. Anything which is cooked in a pot? Question mark.
Including the porridge.
L'chayra, including the porridge, the bread, the bracha rishayna on the bread will exempt it as well. So how can Rashi say that when the Gemara says Dvorim, which is Shaloi Machmas Hasuda, and Rashi said that means which is not Lalafis, it's there to satiate, and you therefore have to make a bracha over it because it's not Tofel. Gemara, the opposite. The Mishnah says that Parperes doesn't require a bracha, which let's call Parperes for the moment an hors d'oeuvre. And the Gemara says, so too, a Maisa Kedera. Anything which is cooked in a pot, which you eat during the meal, is also subsumed by the bracha that you made over the bread. So how can Rashi say you have to make a bracha? The Gemara says you don't make a bracha. So that so far is question number
three.
And here comes question number four. Now, question number four, let's just remind ourselves. If you remember, when we finished the chart with all the six or seven or eight columns, we said it comes out, according to Rashi, Rav Papa was going like Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes, or Rav Chiya, which one of those three? Now, before we try and work that out, let's just remind ourselves of what they were talking about. Do you remember they were talking about figs and grapes that were brought b'tei chasuda? Now, as we now know, if you tell me if you bring a fruit to the meal, that doesn't tell me much. Why doesn't that tell me much? Because I need to know
the purpose.
I need to know not just what you're eating, I need to know why you're eating it. So Rashi there told us the why was it there for, what was it doing? Lemase kespiv, which is another way of saying kinuach. Which means that which case is that of Rav Papa? A, B1 or B2? B2, dessert. It's Dvorim Aboim Shaloi Machmas Asuda. So it turns out that Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes, Rav Chia were actually talking about one of the three cases that Rav Papa mentioned, specifically B2. Ah, okay. So let's take this slowly then. If we said that Rav Papa, in the case of B2, dessert, says you make a bracha before and after, so whose opinion is that? That was Rav Sheshes. Remember, Rav Sheshes taught us the big principle. He said, besides for pas habo bekisnin, which we need to discuss at a later date, you make a bracha before and after, check, check, or tick, tick. Therefore, that is like Rav Papa. So Rav Papa is paskening like Rav Sheshes. Now, why is that problematic? Because if you remember, look at Tosfos, the Tosfos that we did learn, the end of, Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Ela. Have you got the third Tosfos on the page, the fourth Tosfos on the page? Ela. So we didn't learn this whole Tosfos because most of it discusses Pasa Bal Bekis, and we'll come back to it. But Tosfos at the end says, Loi kaim along Rav Sheshes. We do not paskin like Rav Sheshes. Why not?
Because outnumbered.
We have to paskin like Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Tein Halacha Kiyoche, B'mochim Rabin. And he quoted that in the name of Hey Gimel Halachas Gedoyles, the Bahag. So this is now going to present our fourth and final difficulty with Rashi. Because the way that Rashi explained the sugya, it actually turns out that we're paskining like Rav Sheshes, which is the Yochid. So look at Ratosis now. V'dvarim haragilim lovoy la'achar hasudo. This was case number B2. Those foods that come, shaloi machmas hasud, and they come after the sudo, which means dessert. And what did Rashi say? You see, Mamash Tosis is taking every line of Rashi and has just pulled it apart. We can be rest assured, Rashi had what to say about every single kasha. But Tosis is very unhappy. So Tosis quotes Rashi, Pirish Rashi, k'moy peirois. An example of dessert would be peirois. Va'afilu hevi oison betoi chasu'udo. Even if in theory you brought them during the meal, it's true, we called them
dessert.
The Gemara called it la'acharasud. Remember Rashi added regilim. What does regilim mean?
It's normally dessert, but
it doesn't have to be that way. Even if in theory you bought it during the meal, the main thing is shaloi machmas liftom. It was not brought in order to bimelafe sonesapas. The halacha is tzu'unin brocha. They would require a brocha bein lifneihem. Whether before, why, delav tfeilen inu, because they're not toffel. This is all a quote of Rashi. Ubein lachareihem de'ein berkas hamozoin poitrason. Because berkas hamozoin will not part of them, why not? Delav mozoin inu, very simple. Berkas hamozoin can only exempt mozoin. This is not mozoin. Therefore, it's basically the worst of both worlds. It's not included in the original bracha because not toffel to the pas, therefore it requires its own bracha. But it's also not included in the birkas hamozin because it isn't mozin. Therefore it needs a bracha lefoneho and also laachareho. That is a quote of Rashi. Says Tosfos, do you realize dehainu kerev sheishes? That is exactly as Rav Sheishes ruled. Do'omala'el. Because he told us above in the beginning of the sugya, Heviu lefonov te'einim v'rimoinim b'toich ha'su'udah, if you brought figs and pomegranates during the meal, to te'unim bracha, bein lefneihem u'bein la'achareihem. He was the one who told us that you bring make a bracha before and afterwards. In which case, I'm sorry to say, v'hava deloi kehilchasa, that is not the halacha. Rav Sheshes is not the halacha. The kaimalon, because we paskin like who? Kerav Nachman of Runa kede precious la'el, as we have already explained. What does that mean, as we have explained at the end of Tosfos Elo? Therefore, Tosfos says, I'm sorry to tell you, there is a problem in the cheshbon over here. According to the way Rashi learns the sugya, it l'chayra emerges that Rav Papa is paskining like Rav Sheshes. And that can't be, because we certainly do not paskin like Rav Sheshes. Why not? Because Rav Sheshes is the Yochid. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna are the Rabbim. By the way, what did Rav Nachman and Rav Huna paskin? Yes, you make a bracha before. Why?
It's not.
Because it's not lelafa is penesa pas. However,
You don't make a bracha
or birkas hamozin, because birkas hamozin will patter them. So it seems to be that is the main machlekas over here, very, very fundamental machlekas. What does birkas hamozin exempt? And it seems to be that we hold the brichas and mazon exempts absolutely everything. Tofel the pas, obviously. Mazon, obviously. And here we're being taught that even if it's there, lamasik, velakinuach, dessert, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman say, that's also exempted. So birkas hamazon apparently exempts absolutely everything that you ate during the meal. Rav Sheshes disagreed, and Rav Sheshes says, no, you've got to make a brocha afterwards. And that's what Rav Papa is paskening, but we don't pasken like Rav Sheshes, because he's a das yochid. So we have four enormous questions on Rashi. Let's just sum up, and then we're going to see Tosis Pshat. Kasha number one. Turns out, according to Rashi, that all I'm being taught is the old rule of Iker and Tofel. Lafa is benes apas, doesn't need a bracha because it's Tofel. Thank you very much, says Tosis, that's a Mishnah. Kasha number one. Kasha number two. What was the Gemara's Shaila, what was the Gemara's Kasha, that wine should be exempted? Why should it possibly be exempted? It's not Tofel to the pas at all. Kasha number three, that according to Rashi, that Kruv, etc., etc., they are mozoin and they require a first bracha. Says Tosis, I'm sorry, the Gemara in the next daf says the opposite. That the bracha on the pas exempts parperes and so too maisa kedera. Kasha number four was that how can you tell me that dessert is what we're talking about in B2 and the halacha is that birkas hamozoin does not cover it. That is, albeit it's true, the opinion of Rav Sheshes, but we don't pass like that. We pass like Rav Nachman and Rav Huna because they are the rabbin. Those are four huge questions that Tosis is asking on Rashi. Tosis is now going to explain the sugya completely differently to Rashi. And once again, Be'ez Hashem, at the end, we'll have to see the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah. But in the meanwhile, let's see Tosfos, and then we have to go through all four questions and see how Tosis knocked them off one by one. Al Kain. What do they mean, Al Kain? Therefore, Pirish Ri. Therefore, the Ri is going to explain completely differently to Rashi. Al-Kain means, therefore, as a result of all the kashas that we have already mentioned, he had no choice and he learnt the sugya differently. And this is the way he learnt. Dvarim haboim machmas hasuda b'toich hasuda, quote unquote. That's what we called case A, which Rashi explained means anything which is there. Lelafa is penes apas, says the Ri. That's not what it means. Do you know what it means? Kloimar horagilim lovoi machmas hasuda bepas. Anything that you would normally eat in a bread-based meal, Sheragilim lo'ochlom im hapas, that you would normally eat with the bread. Not lalafis. With, by the way, doesn't mean you put it on your sandwiches. You have your bread, and then you have your kagoyim basar, the dogim, the kol mine kedera, and any type of stew or that was cooked in a pot. Vehevion b'teich ha'su'udo, ein tu'unin, bracha lifnehem ula achareihem, they do not require a bracha before or afterwards. Afilu ochlon betoich hasuda, even if actually you ate them during the meal, bifnei atzmon, independently beloy pas. Anything that you would normally eat with bread is exempted if it's a bread-based meal, even if you're not actually eating it with the pas. This has nothing to do with lelafa ispanesa pas and tofel. So obviously we all understand that the first question of Tosis is already answered. This is not a sugya of tofel. Tofel is a mishnah, shkeach, repapa. I don't need to be taught the halacha of tofel, that's a mishnah. We're not being taught the principle of tofel, we're being taught a brand new principle, and that is foods that you would normally eat with bread, if you eat them during the meal, actually not with the bread, you finished eating your bread, now you moved on to the main course, because they're normally eaten with the bread, they are exempted from a brocha both before and after. Why? The kivan, the mishum pas, heim bo'in, seeing as they are there because of the bread, therefore hapas poitraton, that's why the bread exempts them. This is a brand new principle. This is not Iker and Tofel, Elafa Yisbenes Hapas. That's old news. This is a new principle where I'm actually eating it at the end of the day, not as an accompaniment to the bread in any which way or form. But it is, as it were, secondary to the bread. Let's call it that. Tofel, what does the word tofel to the pas mean? What does tofel mean? Not just it's secondary, it's even more than that.
It's almost non-existent.
You're right, that's what it's doing. But what's the upshot of that? Something which enhances the bread is tofel to the pas. What does that mean, is tofel? It almost becomes, right, part of the bread. As an example, if I ask you, this Gemara, what's the Gemara sitting on? You don't say it's a piece of wood with four legs and eight screws. It's a table. What do you mean? But it's got screws there, you can't deny it. The screws are now part and parcel of the table. It becomes a part of the table. The lelafa yisbenes hapas becomes tofel and botel to the bread, almost as if they don't exist, if they don't require a bracha. That's not the sugya according to Tosfos, according to the Ri. That's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah. I don't need a Rapapa to teach me a Mishnah. We're being taught that foods which are normally brought with bread, and Tosfos apparently is telling us that bosa v'dogim are normally eaten with bread. So we'll take his word for it. The chiddush of Rapapa is that even in the event that they're now eaten not with the bread, but at the end of the day they normally are, so therefore the bread will exempt it both before and after. Aval dvarim she'ein darkon lovoi b'toich ha'suda, but if it is those items which is not the norm to bring during the meal, k'goin tamarim v'rimoinim v'shar kol peiros she'ein regilim lalafa yisbenes hapas, they never, the function of fruits is not normally there to be malafa yisbenes hapas, tfunin brocha lefnehem, they would therefore require a brocha before. Why? To kiven de lav mishum lifton osu, because they are, what does osu mean? Coming. They are not coming as lefes, lafes ben hapas. Therefore, ein hapas poitroson. Therefore, the bread would not exempt it. Vahainu kerev Nachman kerev Huna de leel. And that is exactly in fitting with Rav Nachman and Rav Huna de Homri, who told us to tuunin brocha lefnehem veloy laachreihem. So far, which case has Tosfos addressed, A or B? Is it for the moment addressed A? What does A mean? What's the halacha of A? Machmas hasu'uda, which Tosfos says machmas hasu'uda means you normally eat it as an accompaniment to bread, therefore even if in the case that we're talking about you're not, it doesn't matter. It's subsumed by the bread, before and after, there's no bracha. With the implication being that if, however, you don't normally eat it as an accompaniment to the bread, then what's the halacha? It's normally made as dessert, so then the halacha is you make a bracha before. And that is like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, so we do pass that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So Tosfos has so far now answered at least two of the questions. And the truth is, he might have answered the wine question as well. But let's go slowly. Keep going. La'achar hasuda garsinon vesuloi. Yep. V'hainukar of Nachman Ravun Dalel Dormit Unum Brocha Nefrem Veloi La'achareim. Now, La'achar hasuda. Now, this is a question of girsois, a little bit tricky. Let's try and make it clear. La'achar hasuda, quote unquote, garsinon is the correct girsa. Vesu, loy, and that's it. Now, what is Tosis coming? La'afuke. Veloy garsinon dvorim haboim, quote unquote, bahach sefer. In other words, our girsa is not as Tosa suggests. Look at our Gemara. Go back into the Gemara, Omar of Papa. Our girsa is as follows. Omar of Papa, Hilchasa. Dvarim haboim machmas ha-su'uda b'toich ha-su'uda, which according to Tosa means bread, fish, meat, etc. Ein t'unim brocha lo lifneim v'lo l'achareihem. V'shaloi machmas ha-su'uda b'toich ha-su'uda t'unim brocha lifneim v'ein t'unim brocha l'achareihem la'achar ha-su'uda t'unim brocha b'ein lifneim. La'achar ha-su'uda says Tosfos that what is the correct girsa. Don't throw in the words dvorim, haboim, etc., etc. in that sefer. Okay, so look back in Tosfos now. Vahochi pirushoi, and this is the explanation. Im heviu dvarim shehizkarnu. If you bring those items that we have already mentioned, that's why don't make a new subtitle out of it. If you brought them achar hasu'uda, pirish. La'achar shemoshchu es yedehem min hapas. If you bring them after they've been moishach yodehem, what does it mean moishach yodehem? They've withdrew their hands. What does that mean? They withdrew their hands.
They basically said the meal's over.
Right, exactly. When you have your bread in the beginning of the meal, even if you're not currently eating the bread, but you could do so at any moment. You haven't been moishach. Moishach means to withdraw your hand. I'm in the middle of the meal. If, however, you've been moishach yodem, which means, that's it, I'm not eating any more bread, then what? Shuv ein hapas poitraton klal. Then the bread will not exempt them at all. Vahava kamoi, and it is as if she'ochlon beloy shum su'uda. It is as if you ate them independently, not with a meal, as if there was no bread to talk about. Ubein dvarim haragilim lovoy machmas ha-su'uda. Ubein dvarim she'ein regilim lovoy machmas ha-su'uda. Whether we are dealing with those foods that you normally do eat with bread, you don't eat to bread, it makes no difference. Tu'unin brocha lifnehem ula achareihem. They would require a brocha both before and afterwards. Da'akol dvarim, because on all the different foods, dela'el, that we mentioned before, ko'i, it is referring, period. So let's explain. Tosfos understands A, B1, and B2 to be a completely different translation and a different look at the whole sugya. Let's go slowly. A1, or let's, according to Tosfos, just call it, sorry, A. Dvorim haboim machmas hasuda. What does that mean, machmas hasuda? It's normally eaten. Not that it's now functioning as a toffel. If it's now functioning as a toffel, as Tosfos pointed out, I hardly need Rav Popper to point out the halacha for me. It's a Mefurash Mishnah. The Chiddush is, it's something which is normally there, Machmas HaSu'uda, which means Machmas the Pas. Everybody agrees, by the way, that the translation of the word Su'uda in our Sugya is Pas. So it's normally there as Machmas HaSu'uda. The Chiddush is that even if you're not eating it together with the bread, it is rather part of your meal, but it's still considered toffel to the pas, therefore no bracha before or afterwards. Halacha number one. Halacha number two, if it is shaloi machmas hasu'uda, what does that mean, shaloi machmas hasu'uda? If it is nothing to do with the bread, rather, what is it? No. Fruit. Shaloi machmas suda means fruit. That was his example. He says if you bring remoinim, anovim. So then the halacha is that they will not be subsumed by the brocha over the pas, because they're not there. Fruit is not normally there, lalafis benes apas, and therefore it will require a brocha before. Now let's stop. Tosfos has translated that shaloi machmas hasu'uda means fruit, dessert. That's not how Rashi translated. Rashi had the third case as dessert. And that's where Tosfos that presents problems, because if that's dessert, you're telling me that there's two brochas? That's Rav Sheshes. The way Tosfos has learned the sugya is dessert was the second case. That's what it means, shaloi machmas hasu'uda. It's not normally eaten as an accompaniment to bread. Rather, it has nothing to do with the bread. What is it? It's fruit. So what's the halacha? You make a first bracha and on an after bracha. Perfect. That is Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Therefore, that is consistent with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Because remember, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were certainly talking about fruit, whose function was basically to be as a dessert. And they said, you do make a bracha before, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. So according to Rashi, that was Rav Papa's third case, B2. According to Tosfos, it's not. It's just B.
Why don't we make a bracha afterwards, according to Tosfos?
Because Hamazon will always incorporate it.
Okay.
That is the opinion of Rav Huna Rav Nachman.
Which is how we ask for this.
Now, Tosfos says in conclusion that when the Gemara says at the end, Le'achar hasu'udo, don't precede that with the words Dvorim Haba. It's not a new subtitle. Do you know what that is? La'achar Asuda is now a new case, but it really refers back to A and B. Again, the whole shape of the sugya is different according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, what was the shape of the sugya? There was A, there was B1, and there was B2. A was Lalafes. B was not lalafes, B1 was the porridge, B2 was the fruit. According to Tosfos, that's not the shape of the sugya. According to Tosfos, A was not lalafes, it was those that are normally lalafes, but now you're having it during the meal. B was dessert. Now, la'achar hasuda, what does that mean? Is referring to both A and also B. And it's telling me a brand new principle. That what? Everything we've said until now, whether it's machmas hasuda, which is no bracha, or whether it's fruit that requires at least a first bracha, but not an after bracha, that's all talking as long as you haven't been moishach yodem. You're still considered to be betoich hasuda. Once you are moishach yodem, what does that mean? You've decided that's it, that's the end of the meal. And now all of a sudden you bring food. Which food? Any food. You require a bracha before and after. Why is it before and after?
It's really not part of the meal.
Because not to do with the meal, says Tosfos. It's as if you ate it not with bread at all. It's not quite the same because this at the end of the day, you did eat in a bread-based meal. But because it's totally independent of the bread, therefore it requires a bracha before and after. So again, look at Tosas again, and now you'll see it flows very easily. La'achar ha'suda. La'achar ha'suda gar sinon v'suloi. That's it. V'loi gar sinon dvarim ha'boim. Don't have the girsa. Don't precede those words with dvarim ha'boim. Why? Because that would suggest as if it's a brand new case. It's not. It's referring back to the old cases. V'hochi pirushi. This is the explanation. Im heviu dvarim shehizkarnu. If you bring those things that we have mentioned already, achar hasu'udo, after the meal, pirish la'achar shemoshku es yedeya min hapas, after you have withdrawn your hands from the bread, shuv ein hapas poitraton klal, then the pas would not exempt it. So much so, look how strongly Tosus enforces this. V'hava kemoi she'ochlon beloi shum suda. It is as if you took a piece of food and you had a bite. Nothing to do with bread. Therefore, ubein dvarim haragilim lovoi machmasa suda. Ubein dvarim she'ein regilim lovoi machmasa suda. Makes no difference because you are eating it basically not as part of the meal. The halacha is Tunin brocha lifneim ula achareim. Da akol dvarim de leel koi. Because this is referring to all the subjects, all the various foods that we have already mentioned. These words, la acha hasuda, are referring back to them. Now, Tosfos says in conclusion, halacha lemaisa, va'achshav, nowadays, now, ein lanu din. We don't really have this din. Not that chas v'shalom, we're arguing with the Gemara. It's just that the case of the Gemara is never relevant. Why not? De'ein minag shalonu, because it is not the custom of ours, limsheich yodeinu min hapas klal. We never withdraw our hands from bread ad la'achar pirkas hamazon. The way we eat our meals is, you have to remember, by the way, remember, they didn't have the whole concept of chairs sitting around a table, as it were. They had their recliners on the bed, and then you brought in front of them like a mini little table, which was movable. The whole concept of a dining room, oak mahogany table, didn't exist. Everybody had their couch, and then you brought in front of them like a little stool, which we'll call the shulchan, and then you cleared it up and then you removed the shulchan. So for there really could exist the concept of what? That's what it means to be moishach yadein, finish it, it's all been packed away, that's it. We don't have that concept. When we finish the main course, we don't all suddenly fold up the table. Therefore, we have never really taken ourselves out of the meal. And that's what Tosa says. De'ein minik shalonu limshach yadeinu min hapas klal. We haven't in any way withdrawn from eating the bread ad la'achar birkas amozna. Once you finish birkas amozna, that would constitute meal over. Elo kol sha'or, rather, this is the way it works with us. The whole time shonu oichrim peirois, oi shum dovar, whatever you eat, koidin birkas amozin, da'atenu, our das, lechol pas kol sha'or. Our das is to eat bread at any moment. If you would see somebody eating dessert and then help himself to a leftover piece of challah, that wouldn't be strange. That's not unheard of. V'kai melon k'psak d'Rav Papa. So we pass now the p'saka of Papa, which means that case, the last case, which according to Rashi was B2, but according to Tosfos it wasn't, it was really case C. Or A2 and B2 joint is never relevant. We're not chas v'shalom chaylik on the Gemara, it's just totally irrelevant. We don't have this case. We don't have this case. It's always considered to be part of the Suda. Now, turns out, therefore, that according to Tosfos, the sugya is much simpler in a way, because case C is just being completely deleted, it's never relevant. And therefore, what are we left with? Very simple. If it's normally eaten as the lafa is ben esapas, you don't require a first bracha. And if it is, however, dessert, then you do make a bracha, at least a first bracha. And I think we all know that's going to be halacha lemaisa. We don't make a bracha on any foods during the meal. Again, unless it's dessert.
Fruit?
Fruit. If you have a fruit during the meal, you'd make a bracha. Because a fruit... Yayin. We'll get to wine shortly. Why? Because it's not considered part of the meal. Well, at least nothing to do with the bread, put it more accurately. It will be incorporated by Birkas HaMazon, therefore it's not technically correct to say that it's not part of the meal. When I see somebody eating dessert, his ice cream at the end of the meal, I don't say that this is not part of the meal. It is part of the meal, but it's not coming as a result of the bread. Therefore it can't be subsumed by the brachas first, by the bread's first bracha. But it certainly will be subsumed by Birkas HaMazon because it's part of the meal. The only case that won't is the case that Tosis has told us is never relevant anymore, and that is, once you've been moishach yodehem, and you've completely withdrawn your hands from the Suda, now whatever you eat, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's fish or meat or ice cream, is nothing to do with the Suda. Therefore it cannot possibly be incorporated either by the first bracha or the last bracha. And that was the double check, check, check. That's why you're making two brachas. According to Rashi, this case was dessert. According to Tosfos, it's not dessert. Dessert was the second case, and that's Rav Huna Rav Nachman. The third case is a brand new case. Therefore, the whole sugya, according to Tosfos, incredible. The whole Tosfos, completely different sugya, according to Tosfos. Completely different sugya. Now, the only thing we have not discussed is the wine. We'll have to come back to that next week. But at least we can see that most of Tosis' questions have just melted away. You don't even need to answer them. They're non-starters, according to Tosis. What was Tosis' first kasha? Why are you telling me the halacha of Tofel and Ikka? It's Mefurash Mishnah. Okay, that question doesn't need an answer. Nobody's talking about Tofel and Ikka. That's not the subject. So we're not answering the question. The question doesn't begin. We had a question also about that the Mishnah says later on that the brach on the pas exempts the parperis and so too the kedera. And why over here does it say you do have to make a brach? The answer is it doesn't. It doesn't require kuntatosvus. Anything which is anything to do with the bread does not require a first brach. So it's perfect. What was the last question? That according to Rashi, that this last case is dessert, and you're making a double bracha, well, I'm sorry to tell you, that's Rav Sheshes, and we pass it over to Rav Nachman. Kontatosis again. It doesn't need to be answered, it's just the question doesn't begin. It's not dessert. That isn't dessert, that's a different case of Moshech Yedein. You want to know which case is dessert? That's the second case. Second case is exactly Rav Nachman. So the questions are not answered, rather the questions prove to be non-questions. You know the story, the famous Maisa with the Ramban? The Ramban, I think it's with the Ramban. But I may be mistaken. If it's not the Ramban, then it's one of the Gedolei Yisrael. He had a Talmud who was very, very sick, and he was literally on his way out, at death's door. And the Rebbe, I think it was the Ramban, but maybe not, doesn't really make a difference, asked his Talmud, he says, listen, we all know that your time is very limited. I want to ask some big questions that I've got on Olam Hazeh. Questions of Emunah or Ashkocha, whatever it may be. And when you eventually get to the Beis Din Shel Maaloh, if you could do me a favor, could you ask these questions, find out the answers, and then maybe come to me in a dream or let me know the answers. The Talmud indeed passed away, and the Rebbe is waiting for this grand revelation, and it doesn't arrive. Doesn't arrive, and he's waiting a week or 2 weeks, or what's taking so long? He davens, please, that the Talmud should come to him in a dream. And eventually the Talmud came to him in a dream, and the Rebbe says, what took so long? And he said, nothing took so long. It's just when I got upstairs to the Beis Din Shel Maaloh, none of these questions needed asking at all. It's not that there were questions and I had to go investigate the answers and I was going to come back and report the answers. Rather, I got upstairs and I realized the questions don't begin. Now, I always heard that story, heard the story many, many times, but you have to understand the story. How does that solve the issue? Fine, so the questions were non-questions, so why didn't he reveal himself in a dream to at least tell that to the Rebbe? How's he answered the Shaila? So why didn't he at least report back to the Rebbe, listen, the questions don't need answers, rather they're so overwhelmingly obvious, everything is clear that you don't need to. Why didn't he come to reveal that to the Rebbe? And the answer is, because what I think this is what this story is really teaching us, that what he was really telling the Rebbe was, all these questions turn out to be non-questions when you get to the Beis Din Shel Ma'alon. These are things that cannot be explained in Olam Hazeh. Right, all the various different types of mishalim we all know, but the back of the tapestry, which I think is a very famous mashal. No, you must turn the tapestry back to front. See loose threads hanging over here and hanging there, you can't see anything. You turn it around and it all makes sense. Or the famous mashal of the Chofetz Chaim, right, the guest comes to shul, and he complains to the Gabbai, he says, why did you give aliyahs to everybody sitting on the right-hand side of shul? Seems totally unfair. And he says, it's ridiculous, you weren't here last week. Last week we gave aliyahs to the people on the left-hand side of the shul. Yeah, you haven't seen the complete picture. Which means in Olam Hazeh, when we're seeing difficulties, the reason why we have questions is we're not privy to the whole picture. Therefore, these are things that cannot be explained in Olam Hazeh. When the Talmud got upstairs to Olam Abba, the questions didn't need answering, everything became clear, because then and only then are you privy to the entire picture. Which, by the way, and with this we'll finish, is mamish in Yona Diyema. Why is it in Yona Diyema? We've mentioned this a number of times in the Parashah. Parashas Vayetze has something extremely rare, very, very unique. It's the only parasha in the whole Torah in which there's no breaks, there's no psuches and stumos. If you get an aliyah this week for Torah, have a look. You'll see there's no gaps in the Sefer Torah. And the way the Mefarshim have explained is because Parashas Vayetze is really the parasha of Golos. This is the parasha of Golos where Yaakov is on his sojourns and all his trials and tribulations. Therefore, there cannot be gaps, because if you have gaps, what are you showing? That you have chapter A and chapter B and chapter C. The secret of Golos is to understand that it's all one long story and you have to read from beginning to end. If you have gaps, then that's why we have kashas. I don't see that, it doesn't make any sense. Of course, keep reading, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. In Olam Hazeh, we're not always zeichet to keep going. So Al Kaponim, that's what I believe is pshat in the other story. When the Rebbe said, please give me the answers, and he didn't come back, he says it was so obvious, so why didn't he at least come back to tell him it was obvious? The answer is because there's nothing to explain over here. Because we're not privy necessarily to see the whole picture. We have gaps. Therefore we have kashas. The emunah comes from the fact that you have to keep reading, keep get to the end of the story. You get to Olam HaEmes, then you see the whole picture. Al Kaponim v'Oifen, that's all a moshel. The nimshel is an our sugya. That if you learn the sugya like Rashi, as far as Tosfos was concerned, then you left off with a lot of kashas. If you learn the Tosfos sugya like Tosfos, the kashas don't need answering at all. They fritter away. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Beis Hashem. The plan is, Mitz Hashem, we'll do the bottom Tosfos, which goes over to the top of the next Omud. And there we'll continue with the Gemara all the way to the Mishnah, and we'll get into the sugya of Pasa Boba Kisnin, and then we'll come back to the toasters that we missed out. That is our show.